Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Week 14 episode of the QBless Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Cal Nusslinger, joined this week by Brian Hartman. Brian, how did your Week 13 go?
Hey, not too bad right now. I'm probably about 50-50 in most of my leagues. Got a handful of wins, enough to keep me from completely pulling out my hair. And then, hey, Colts keep winning. Life's good. Life's good. How about you? Steelers, they look Steelery this week.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. Can't say I enjoyed any second of that game, especially with Kenny Pickett going down, which we'll get to in a bit. Our usual co-host, Mario Adamo Jr., he is day-to-day. He says he's under the weather. His voice is gone. I think he's still drowning out the fact that his Eagles took a rare loss to the 49ers yesterday. So, Mario, we missed you. Sorry for your Eagle loss. I'll poke shots when I can, but hey, we just lost to the Cardinals, so I don't really have much room to talk. But when I get a chance, I will take it. But we have a lot to talk about this week. This was a week that was filled with injuries, and as we say this, we are currently recording as usual during the Monday Night Football game, the Cincinnati Bengals versus Jacksonville Jaguars. I will be watching it very closely because I have a playoff potential matchup that comes out to it where if I win, I get into the playoffs. So Calvin Ridley, if you're listening to this, hopefully it paid off for me. But we do have a lot of exciting stuff to get to, as well as the waiver wire. And lucky for us, bye weeks are almost over. There's only 2 teams on bye week going into week 14, and that is the Arizona Cardinals and Washington Commanders, where, let's face it, you might not be starting many of those guys in a normal week anyway. So we got a good week where most of our studs are back, so we shouldn't have anything too crazy, but a lot to get to. We'll start, as we always do, with the news. And the first bit of news, we wish we could get Mario's reaction to, but Shaq Leonard has officially signed with the Philadelphia Eagles to just boost an already great defense that, you know what, after putting up along 40 points to the San Francisco 49ers, they probably got a, wouldn't say desperate, but needed to make that move. So not too much fantasy relevant in terms of that, but as our resident Colts fan, what are the Eagles getting with Shaq Leonard? How much better does this make their defense? Are they still the NFC favorites in your mind?
Ooh, NFC favorites. I think the 49ers put their statement out there that they may be the best team out there right now. But The Eagles got one incredible defensive player. If Shaquille Leonard can be out there on the field, he will be the difference maker that helps this team take another step forward. What he really brings on the defensive end is his turnovers. The guy is a fumble magnet. He gets interceptions, which honestly, it's great for fantasy. That's going to put the offense right back out there, give us Jalen Hurts lovers and the Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown people. Like, this, I think it's a great move. It's incredible that they're the ones that were able to pick him up, but I'm excited to see what happens.
They always seem to be able to make those moves. I mean, I know last year we were talking about the show, they got Ndamukong Suh down the stretch and one other defender that was released. I'm blanking on his name right now, but I believe someone released from like Cincinnati or something like that. But they continue to just add to their defense, which is already top five or so in the league. So great move. They're right up there of San Francisco and Dallas. That game on Sunday night is going to be another incredible game, and I can't wait to watch that. The opposite can be the same. It's when I talk about my Pittsburgh Steelers, who play Thursday night against the New England Patriots, and they will be without their starting quarterback, Kenny Pickett. He underwent ankle surgery on Monday, expected to miss 2 to 4 weeks. They're hopeful they can have him back by week 18. After losing to the Cardinals, they're probably not starting many Steelers the rest of the season. But, Brian, how do you value Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, Pat Freiermuth for any receiving options that aren't running back startable now for the Steelers with Mitchell Trubisky under center?
No, I think that's it. Can you value any of these players? And it's rough out there with injuries. So, you know, these players obviously will be started in most leagues, most formats, but there's no confidence level. I think the over-under for this Patriots-Steelers game right now is like 31 points. After an 0-6 performance with the Chargers and the Patriots this week, like that's just such a gross. Do we have to watch it? It's the only game on. I'm like scrambling, trying to make plans for Thursday night just to find an excuse not to have to watch this.
If I wasn't a Steelers fan, I might be doing the same. I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to hate every second of it, and I'm sure I'll be messaging you about how boring this game is, but put a parlay on it. Do something to make yourself interested, because this is going to be a slop fest, and I'm sure Al Michaels will be enjoying every second of it. But I agree. The only Steelers that are actually startable at this point are the running backs. Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren are going to get a lot of work, so I think volume alone, they'll be RB2 still, but definitely downgrade to all your Pittsburgh Steelers, which isn't exactly anything I thought I'd say, but I definitely learned how much Trubisky is still worse than Kenny Pickett. Sticking with the quarterback news, we got some the ever-revolving door in New York with the Jets. Zach Wilson, they apparently want him to start this year or next week or go back to him as a starter, although Robert Saleh has denied that and said they still haven't named anything. And reports have it that Zach Wilson has said, no, thank you, I'm good. I don't know if I want to go back out there. So who the heck knows who's going to be starting for the Jets? Honestly, does it really matter? I don't really know, but what's your read out for the Jets? Who's going to be starting, do you think? Is Garrett Wilson still viable after this, as this door continues to revolve?
I think the talent level for Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson is just too extreme for us to just disregard them and not play these players. But I think it's kind of done here in New York. I don't blame Zach Wilson. The scrutiny he's had, the team he like, what the situation he's put in right now, yeah, he's not great, but he's not going to look any better on this team. So might as well wait to the offseason. I imagine he gets cut. He needs to be cut. I don't know why he needs to be on this. You know, it's a bad relationship. They need to move on. But it's rough out there for some very, very talented players in New York.
Yeah, no reason to run him back out there. You've already benched him for Tim Boyle. That's enough to be said of you're not part of our future, Zach. But as for competitiveness, if there actually are worse quarterbacks in the NFL than Zach Wilson, we did learn that over these past 2 weeks. So we'll see where they end up. And this comes after a result of Ian Rapoport letting us know that Aaron Rodgers is not expected to play the rest of the season. Shocking. I know we're all, our jaws dropped when we heard that news, and we're all on the edge of our seat. Yeah, I don't think any of us really thought Rodgers had a realistic chance of coming back on a below 500 team. And the last bit of news, at least for this part, we'll get into a lot of them with the booms and busts. Like we said, this was a busy week in terms of injuries. Puka Nacua, he did suffer an injury to his AC joint to the point where he said on the sideline he felt like he couldn't breathe and his shoulder was out of place. Yet he still went out at an awesome game. Sean McVay said that they don't expect that to limit him for week 14 matchup against the Baltimore Ravens, which actually has some interesting playoff ramifications. So that's going to be a really exciting game. are you devaluing Puka Nacua at all next week with this injury, or just fire him up?
It's hard to look at this right now, because I remember seeing that report like, oh my gosh, there's no way he's coming back out there. And the next thing you know, we see this huge play of him streaking down the field. So it seems like he's a tough enough guy. He might be willing to go out there. So I think if he gets the okay and he plays, you kind of can't bench him, you know?
Yeah, he's definitely amazing. He's definitely the Ram receiver you want. He's for sure jumped Cooper Kupp, which is not something I thought I'd say, but he's definitely been the best of the two of them. And even with the matchup against the Ravens, he'll be a must-start receiver the rest of the way. Let's move over to the exciting plays of week 13. This was a real crazy week, and it started on Thursday Night Football with that insane matchup between the Seahawks and Cowboys, 41-35, where Geno Smith had his best game of the season. He put up over 40 fantasy points, finished as the quarterback one, and somehow against the Dallas defense, because, you know, all it takes is playing one of the best defenses in football to finally unlock the potential we were kind of hoping for this season. So, Bright, is Geno back? Can he be started the rest of the season as we get closer and closer to the playoffs, or is this just a flash in the pan?
I think we can look at it kind of as a combination of both. I don't want to say Geno's back. No, I still think we saw the regression that we should have expected, that Geno has never been great his entire career. So last year could have been very fluky, but it was an impressive game. He went out there and really shut us up. He took down the Dallas, or almost took down the Dallas defense. As far as fantasy goes, he did. 334 yards, 3 touchdowns. It was a great game. At this point in the season, the Cowboys were only giving up 167 yards through the passing game, and he shattered that. So good for Geno. DK really blew up too. 3 touchdowns. Biggest game of the season because he was playing me, folks. Just a little spoiler there. These two had...
Can I get your notes the rest of the way? If you're playing somebody, just let me know who you're playing so I know who to start for my matchups next week. Just asking for a friend.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I had CD Lamb, DK, and Debo playing me this week.
And breaking news out of the Monday night game, Christian Kirk just went down with an injury. So as someone who needs a big game from Calvin Ridley, well, I don't want to say nice, but that helps those chances. So we'll see. He took a real hard shot to the, just fell down, looked like a non-contact injury to his leg. So we'll see how bad that is. But as you're listening to this, you'll probably hear some more about Christian Kirk, but he did just go down as we're recording here. Sticking with the back to the big performances of week 13, Jordan Love, another huge game in the surprising upset of the Kansas City Chiefs, 267 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a 27-19 win over the Chiefs. And the next couple weeks for the playoffs, Jordan Love is going to be a viable starter the rest of the way for the upcoming fantasy playoffs. Faced the New York Giants in week 14, then the Buccaneers, the Carolina Panthers, and the Minnesota Vikings in week 17. And no, if you play week 18 playoffs, he plays the Chicago Bears, so if Love is still some reason out there, he is a must-add. He's someone you could probably start rest of the season and potentially be a league winner with how he's playing right now.
Yeah, he's got multiple touchdowns in 4 straight games, including 10 over that time span. It's great. have the Packers, is Jordan Love going to be their future? Like, are they going to be confident enough to come into next season with just him? I'm not sure, but I'm excited to see if we've got another good quarterback in the league.
Yeah, he's looked really good, like you said, these past couple weeks, and he's cementing himself as probably the guy. Maybe you get a confident backup behind him, but he's playing well enough where you better roll it out. He's gotten the Packers into a playoff position as we speak, sitting as the either 6 or 7 seed for the NFC. And like we said, a very favorable schedule the rest of the way, where the Packers kind of control their own destiny. So it wouldn't shock me if they grab that playoff spot. So good for him. It's nice to have another quarterback, like you said, who we can probably trust week in and week out with how inconsistent things have been. Over to the running back position, we had some of our usual big performances. Alvin Kamara had a really good game, of course he did. But Brian, I know we were waiting for some bounce backs from a couple guys. Your biggest performance at the running back position is...
Oh, it's got to be the rookie, Devon Achane. He finally got out there, had a nice portion of the snaps, 17 carries, 73 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Here comes the multi-touchdown games. This is the league winner guy that we were hoping to see when we had that 50-point game from him. I will note that he had a majority of his carries. I believe 11 of his 17 carries came in the fourth quarter. So the game was up pretty heavily at that point. So I don't know if that's just working him in throughout the game or part of the game script. But either way, he doesn't take much to bust out. And it's really exciting to see him out there.
Yeah, we've been waiting for this. And now that he's back, like you said, the game script went as fair because it was a blowout. But with how he played, it wouldn't shock me if he works his way back into the mix the rest of the way. But any doubts I had about Devon Achane, about running him back, he's good. He's right back to being an every week starter, and things have been really good there. I want to shout out Derrick Henry, who's his second straight week now of multiple touchdowns, 21 carries, 102 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Finished his second best performance of the season. He did leave the game, though, with what looked like a concussion. There's early reports Monday morning that he was going to be placed in concussion protocol. And then Mike Vrabel came out and said, no, he's not at all in concussion protocol. So monitor that situation closely. If for some reason he's unavailable, Tajay Spears is a huge priority add. But at this point, we know what the situation is with Derrick Henry.
If you're talking about priority add. These people have been listening to us all season. They've already got Tajay Spears on the bench.
Okay, and your 8-man leagues, your 10-man leagues, you're right, but just get our mind. But yes, if he's still out there, obviously add him. But we know the situation with Derrick Henry. If it's a winning game script, he's gonna have a good game. If they're playing from behind, like they might on Monday night this coming week against the Miami Dolphins, I don't know how good things will be. So monitor his situation closely as we go towards closer to Monday night and have a backup plan in place just in case.
Guy I want to talk about here, Chuba Hubbard for the Carolina Panthers. Ever since Frank Reich has been fired, this team has been, I guess, we're one game in. But, you know, this new regime, they gave him 25 touches, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. This team, he's got back-to-back 20-point games right now. I have no confidence in the Panthers, no confidence in this running game, but you can't argue with these numbers right now. I feel like this guy needs to be rostered and... I don't know, but matchups against New Orleans, Atlanta, Green Bay, and Jacksonville the next few weeks, all through the playoffs, I don't know that I have confidence in playing them, you know?
I can't trust it, but what I like to see was this is the first game under a new regime, first game without Frank Reich, and they made him the lead guy. So hopefully that's the case going forward for people who have still been holding on to him. Like I said, it's hard to trust going forward, and you're going to have a week where you're not missing too many guys on bye. It's James Conner and it's Brian Robinson who are out on bye week. So maybe you don't need to be plugging in Chuba in, but at least you know there is some volume where he could be, you know, flexish, maybe very low end RB2 or in early rankings. But it's nice to see. We might have another running back you can try it out there week in and week out. At least we hope so. Go over to the wide receiver position where I would be talking about DK. He was great. The big shout out, though, has to go out in Houston to Nico Collins. We saw him have his best game of the season, 9 catches, 191 yards, and a touchdown. He was the clear wide receiver one, but that's because Tank Dell left with a fractured fibula and will miss the rest of the season. A huge blow to a Texans team that's really fighting for their playoff lives right now to try and get in as a wild card, pulled off the win against the Denver Broncos, while the Steelers and Browns kind of limp their way towards possibly missing the playoffs. So the Texans may be able to jump that. But without Tank Dell, I don't think I'm talking crazy with Nico Collins being a clear wide receiver one rest of the way. He's the clear guy that CJ Stroud went to. He was the big priority, big player receiver. And he's an easy must-start, set it and forget it player the rest of the way.
100% agree. We've seen him blow up in multiple games outside of just this one. So the confidence has to be there. And CJ Stroud's the quarterback. I mean, really, you know, that's really all you need for this equation.
Yep. So he's great. And obviously keep starring him. Other big weeks. So Brian, take it away. Who's some other receivers that stood out to you this week?
Well, he stood out because he was sitting on my bench. But Christian Watson came to play for his second big game in a row. The Packers really took it to the Chiefs. Very controversial there. Ending, couple of calls. One was called, one wasn't called. Crazy game, but with all that to say, the highlight of this game was Christian Watson. Looks like he might be amidst that breakout that we were hoping to see after last year's performance. Third straight game with a touchdown, two touchdowns in this one. 9 targets, 7 receptions, 71 yards. But he's got to bring us down and humble us a little bit because he suffered a hammy injury. Hamstring pulled it right there at the end. We're still waiting to get more news, whether it's mild, if this is going to keep him out. But he has dealt with this his entire career. Usually when these things pop up, it's going to be multiple weeks for them to come back. And even if he does play, you're going to be scared at any point that thing's going to pull because this guy's too fast not to to put stress on his hamstrings. So definitely up in the air, but we're excited to see it happen.
If Watson does miss time with the hamstring injury, is there a receiver you prefer? Is it Jaden Reed still? Do you go Romeo Doubs? Who's the receiver you'd rather have for Green Bay if Watson does miss time?
Jaden Reed's that guy. He only finished with 16 yards in this game, but he was 4 for 5, and he's been heavily involved in most of the other games. So I think kind of scratched us up to a rookie bad start for him, but he is the Packers receiver to own.
Yes, I would agree with you there. Shout out to Mike Evans, another really good performance. He finished, gets over 1,000 yards on the season for the 10th straight year to start his career, the second longest streak in NFL history. This guy no matter who his quarterback is, there's so much people concerned about. Oh, it's Baker Mayfield. It doesn't matter. 7 catches, 162 yards, and a touchdown in a very easy matchup with the Carolina Panthers. Not too much more you can say about Mike Evans. He's been a set and forget a guy all year, but just a well-deserved shout-out to him for his 10th straight year going over 1,000 yards.
Last guy I want to mention is Michael Pittman of the Colts. This guy is quietly having I say quietly, I just don't hear the hype, but he is having an incredible game incredible season. Last 3 games, he's got double-digit targets, 100 yards in the last 2 games. Overall, the season, he's the wide receiver 10. I couldn't be more thrilled with what this is and the statement that he's putting out there that he is one of the top receivers out there in the game and definitely a fantasy asset.
Absolutely. 16 targets last week, 13 the week before, 12 right before the bye. It's just, there's nobody else in that offense. We were all excited about Josh Downs. He took a step back this week. He's still going to be important. The Colts are going to be playing from behind a lot the rest of the season, but Michael Pittman's the same conversation we've had about Puka, same conversation we've had about Nico Collins. He's full on set it, forget it. He deserves to be in your lineup the rest of the way. And he's been great. So it's well deserved there. Sticking with that and the theme of set it and forget it guys, we go over to the tight end position where two rookies set themselves up to be, continue to be those set it and forget it tight ends the rest of the season. We start out in Detroit where Sam Laporta had his second straight really good week. 9 targets, 9 receptions, 140 yards, and a touchdown. Finishes as the tight end 1 on the week. Not too much more to say, but Sam Laporta, if you were able to pick him up off waivers or get him late in drafts, you got a great value. With Amon-Ra St. Brown still doing his thing, Laporta has become a huge part of that Lions offense, and they're another team. They're going to have to be thrown a lot because their defense hasn't been playing as well lately, so shout out to Sam Laporta. Jumping right up to that top tier of tight ends and probably in that conversation next year for that Andrews sort of Hockenson sort of tier in drafts.
I think so.
And then similar things can be said about Trey McBride. I don't know why I blanked on his name for a minute there. They also released Zach Ertz this week. So it's going to be the Trey McBride show. And it was a Trey McBride show on Sunday against Steelers. 8 receptions, 89 yards, and a touchdown. He was once again the clear go-to guy with Marquise Brown leaving with an injury at one point, and his status up in the air for week 14. It's the Trey McBride show. There's nowhere else that Kyler Murray goes in crucial situations. He was the clear go-to target, and he's also going to be in that same tier with Laporta as a easy must-start top 5 tight end rest of the season.
I think so.
Well, I'll let you kick it over to the bus because while we're excited about a lot of guys, clearly, from this week, we're getting to the playoffs and there's a lot of concerning options. So take it away. Who's your biggest disappointment this week?
Well, it's going to be a nice little combo piece here because What is going on with the Chargers? Last year, they were a dark horse to be a Super Bowl favorite. This year, we had Kellen Moore coming to the stage, really thinking they were going to get it together. And granted, bad game environment. Patriots can play defense from time to time. But Justin Herbert was not the guy that you were hoping to have this week. Finished as QB 21 with only 8 points. 22 for 37, barely broke 200 yards. And then his buddy back there, Austin Eckler. Wow.
Yeah.
14 carries, 18 yards. He finished with 4.7 points. What are we doing with these guys? I thought they had a decent matchup. Denver looked horrible at the beginning of the year, so they're playing them in two of their next four matchups, plus Vegas and Buffalo. So not exactly the easiest for this team, but Austin Eckler the last 2 weeks, 18 yards rushing and 32 yards rushing. Are they done? Is he done?
No. The matchup's going to be there. I'm probably still starting Austin Eckler, but it's extremely concerning. I have a good feeling that after this year, we're going to get some report that he was playing through an injury. He does not look like himself, but I'm going to trust the matchup. I'm going to trust that they're going to rely on him because pass catchers in Los Angeles just continue to go down. And Quentin Johnson, he doesn't go down with an injury, but he goes down with in the pecking order from these brutal drops. So we're going to have to rely on Eckler, even through the passing game. So I'm going to trust him another week. You have to temper expectations. You can't rely on him to be that top five, even top 10 running back you draft him to be. But he's still going to be a consistent, at the very least, RB2 rest of the way just on volume alone. So as much as I'm, you know, definitely concerned, it's hard for me to move fully away from him right now, especially with the matchups he has coming up.
Yeah, I get that.
But and same situation for Justin Herbert. I think he's more likely to be benched because we've had some, breakouts of CJ Stroud. You probably picked up somebody else that you have with him. Of how Brock Purdy's playing, you probably start him over him the rest of the season right now. But I don't think you don't drop Herbert, but I think you could possibly pivot away from him at this point, especially if the Broncos defense not playing is still a good matchup, but not the brutal match, not the insane. Cakewalk that it was at the beginning of the season. So we'll see how that one goes. Go over to continue with the running back position for one of my biggest busts of the week. And it's Ramondre Stevenson. And it wasn't fully his fault. He did leave with a high ankle sprain, but in a 6-0 loss, finished with 9 carries, 39 yards. That's it. So, and he's going to miss some time with this ankle sprain. We know how ankle sprains go. Even when they come back, they're not 100% fully. It wouldn't shock me with how bad the Patriots are. They just say, forget it, sit him out the rest of the season. But this makes Ezekiel Elliott a priority added. Same thing you talk about Tajay Spears. He probably shouldn't be available, but if he is in your leagues, just a reminder, go get Ezekiel Elliott because there will be nobody standing in his way for carries in New England.
DeAndre Swift's another guy that made the duds list this week. Back-to-back single-digit performances. It wasn't a great matchup going against San Francisco. He only had 6 carries, 13 yards, 6 targets, though, which was awesome. Only brought in 2 of them for 7 yards. Days seem to definitely be darker before it gets better for DeAndre Swift. He's got a matchup against Dallas before he gets to the playoffs with Seattle, the Giants, and Arizona. So may not be a great game this coming week in the Sunday matchup against Dallas, but the playoff run, I think I would still have full confidence in playing DeAndre Swift.
Agreed. We saw Zach Charbonnet play well against Dallas, so he still has his opportunities, but definitely the playoff matchups are fully there. And the final running back that's worth mentioning, Breece Hall. We talked about making the show that we still have some confidence in just for talent alone, but 13 carries, 16 yards. This is now four straight weeks now of less than 30 yards rushing. And then he was involved in passing games, 6 receptions, 29 yards, but who knows if it's going to be Zach Wilson, if it's going to be Tim Boyle, who loves to dump the ball off to Breece Hall. There's definitely a lot of concerns with Breece Hall at this point. So what are you doing with him? Is he still that must-start running back, even with the core running back turmoil? We kind of talk about him, but who would you rather have? Breece Hall, DeAndre Swift? Are you starting both these guys next week?
Ooh, I think I definitely, season like just having one over the other, I think I would take DeAndre Swift. Just you said the playoff matchup looks great. But Breece Hall, still, you have to start him. 8 targets in the passing game is just you know, it's too good to let go. And he has that ability to break off at any point. I think because of the injury concerns coming into the season, luckily he's probably not your RB1. Hopefully RB2, maybe even RB3, depending on where you got him in the draft and your injury situation. So hopefully he won't be relied on as that steady workhorse in your lineup, but he always has that option to blow up and give you a really good game as a secondary piece.
Yep, I agree. And they have some game scripts coming up with Houston, with Miami. We're going to be playing from behind and need to throw it, and that's going to be Breece Hall getting dump-offs in the backfield. So it won't be pretty, but he'll find his way to 12, 15 PPR points just from dump-offs alone. So, yeah, he's still must start, but again, temper your expectations. Over to the wide receiver position, it's another rough week for Adam Thielen. We were hoping that this was going to be the bounce back for him. He's playing the Buccaneers. Hopefully this is where he can figure things out. 3 catches, 25 yards. Bryce Young has been awful. This Panthers team has been awful. I think Adam Thielen, this is it. He's no longer a must-start wide receiver. You can probably find a better option for him the rest of the way.
Yeah, Jonathan Mingo's gotten involved quite a bit over the last few weeks. So it seems like this coaching staff is going to try and see what they have within him, looking towards the future, see what they can develop, because Adam Thielen, he should be on the team next year, but I don't know if he is the future. I mean, obviously he's not the future, but.
Yeah, so if you got Thielen, you can probably move on. Jalen Waddle, we have him on the list. 5 catches, 52 yards. He did have 8 targets. He was playing in a pretty positive game script, so we didn't have to throw the ball too much more after they already did. So no real concerns about Waddle. Good matchup next week with the Titans. You're going to run him back out there. But again, another guy you're probably tempering some expectations for. He's been a pretty big disappointment for where you drafted him this year.
Yeah, as a Waddle owner, I can confirm. Waddle, 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 Waddle. Just haven't got to do the dance enough this year.
Hasn't. I've been waiting for, besides the owner breaking it out in that, what was it, the London game where the owner ended up doing the Waddle. That was, it's pretty cringy, but I'm hoping we can see it a few more times as we as I try and make that that playoff push.
And let's talk about somebody I almost missed from this list because he didn't even register a point. Hollywood Marquise freaking Brown. What is going on in Arizona? Your college teammate, your quarterback, Mr. Kyler Murray, he's back. Why are we still performing like this? Granted, he had 12 targets last week. He only brought in 6 catches for 88 yards. But this week, 3 targets, nothing, zero, nada. Like, this is horrible. His last 6 games, 6 catches, 4 catches, 1 catch, 2 catch, 6 catch, 0. I think Marquise Brown is droppable, depending on who you're picking up. I don't think that there is any reason that you have to feel obligated to start this guy at this point, especially going into the bye week and then San Francisco right after that.
Yeah, and the same can be said for Terry McLaurin. He had 3 targets, no catches for the Commanders. It's now 4 straight weeks of under 10 PPR fantasy points, 4 catches. Targets were there recently until last week's 3, but they're going into bye and then tough matchups with the Rams, Jets, and 49ers in the fantasy playoffs. It's a pretty similar conversation. I don't think Terry McLaurin, maybe you don't drop him, but he's definitely not someone you're going to start right off the bye because it's real concerning. So same conversation, I think.
I drop him if Curtis Samuel's out there. We talked about it in the start sit episode this past week. Curtis Samuel seems to be the only confident start as far as the wide receiver position for the Commanders right now. It is just so, it's a revolving door. I mean, Logan Thomas didn't even register a catch this week. What happened here?
Yeah, this is a real weird game. And, you know, we've talked about, I just think to the fantasy footballers, we've all been happy with Sam Howell because of the volume, 40 passes or more almost every week this year. And then the biggest blowout of the season, 23 pass attempts. What? Huh? Luckily, he ran 2 touchdowns in, so us who started Sam Howell actually still had a fine fantasy day. But yeah, real disappointment in that Washington passing attack. And finally, over to tight end position, we'll take this on the chin. We were all touting Pat Freiermuth as a huge pickup after his 9-for-120 game. 5 targets, 3 receptions, 29 yards against the Cardinals, which we thought was a cake matchup. I don't think Freiermuth is a must-start tight end anymore. He was kind of on that fringe, you know, lower half of the top 10 or so going into last week. Now if Mitchell Trubisky under center, he's in that 12 range where maybe you're still starting him in a 12-man league, but there may be better options on the waiver wire. with Mitch Trubisky out there, I don't trust him to get the ball pretty consistently. So you may be able to find a better option than Freiermuth at this point.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
All right, so that's going to do it for the duds in the week. We're going to look at our waiver wire options just a moment. As we mentioned, it is the Commanders and the Arizona Cardinals on bye, so you're missing some fancy options at running backs. You're going to be missing James Conner. He'll miss Brian Robinson. But there are some running backs we're going to be looking to possibly replace, especially with all the injuries we talked about at the beginning of the show, with Derrick Henry going down, Ramondre Stevenson going down. So, Brian, who becomes the top priority at the running back position? We'll go shallow leagues at first and then start looking at some deeper options. But who are you prioritizing at the running back position this week?
Ooh. It's hard not to say Zeke just because, you know, Ramondre being out, but that 31 over under that matchup against the Steelers, I don't know if I want to. Zeke was marked as a non-participant in practice today. Granted, they didn't practice because it's Monday, but he's also a vet, so he probably would have gotten that day anyway. But, you know, he's dealing with some ailments himself, so I don't know how confident I would be if you're, because you're not playing him this week, most likely. So, you know, as a priority add, I'm not sure. Kenneth Gainwell, I think, is a good ad. Swift hit the medical tent this past week, so if for some reason he is banged up a little bit, Kenneth Gainwell, we saw him, I think, a couple games earlier in the season where he played pretty well. And then Keaton Mitchell, I think, would probably be my number one ad. Baltimore's coming off a bye. He was getting increasingly more snaps and carries, touches, all that stuff, so I think Keaton Mitchell would probably be my number one ad for the week.
I would agree with Keaton Mitchell. We've touted him the past couple of weeks as someone you should be adding. The snaps were going his way prior to the bye week, so I think this will be the week they make that change. I'm going to mention DJ Dallas as an option as well. Zach Charbonnet left with a knee injury in Thursday night's loss to the Dallas Cowboys. No clear understanding as to what his status is going to be. That's one we're going to be monitoring pretty closely, as well as Kenneth Walker. Could be making his way back this week. It's another practice report you're going to have to monitor. But if both those guys miss time, DJ Dallas, even in a tough matchup with the San Francisco 49ers, they're not going to have a lot of options. So he did play 40% of the snaps last week. So if Walker and Charbonnet are out, DJ Dallas on volume alone is someone you're going to want to pick up as the lead back in Seattle.
Yeah, I think we saw Brian Robinson exit the game early for the Commanders. So I think Antonio Gibson's going to be somebody looked at. He's looking like about 44% owned in most leagues, but as the Commanders often do, they play from behind, which means it's a high passing script, except for this past game, obviously. But Antonio Gibson can catch the ball, so I definitely think he will be a good part of the overall offense and a great snag this week at a running back streamer.
Yeah, and same thing for the Chicago Bears. They're coming off their bye week, and last week we saw... or 2 weeks ago, excuse me, Roschon Johnson was the clear lead back, played 74% of the snaps compared to Khalil Herbert's 21%. With Deontay Foreman out with an injury or still battling an injury, it seems like he's taken over the lead back for Chicago Bears. So if he's still out there in your leagues, he's definitely up there as a priority add, as he'll be taking over this backfield. Similar situation to what we talked about with some of the other rookies. Why not see what you have with him? The Bears aren't going anywhere this season, so go give him a go give him some run and see if he can take it over. So I expect a real good week for Roschon Johnson. Right now they have a tough matchup with the Detroit Lions, but they play the Cardinals in week 16, possibly the Falcons in week 17. So tough matchup with Brown. So some hits, some misses. If you get the lead back, though, I think Roschon Johnson's a high priority ad for me as well.
And I think the last big running back I want to talk about is going to be Ty Chandler. For the Minnesota Vikings. In week 11, Madison almost doubled Ty Chandler's involvement, but week 12, that wasn't the case. Minnesota has been very inconsistent on a week-to-week basis with how they break up this backfield, whether it's Madison, back when it was Akers, Ty Chandler now in the mix. But like we've said a couple times on this podcast, Ty Chandler is clearly the more explosive player. So if you were shooting for a... you know, shot in the dark, a high ceiling play, I think Ty Chandler would be the way to go versus Alexander Mattison.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot to like there, and they may fall into that same conversation of why not see what you have with the younger players. So if we're going to be prioritizing these guys, we'll assume at this point Spears and Elliott are off the wire. They're pretty roster, but it's just a reminder, go get them because you're going to be a lead back. So if you're prioritizing the remaining options, who would you be your top three options at the running back position?
Ooh, it's hard just because of all the injuries. We've got so many different things we have to watch there. But I think top three would probably be Tajay Spears, Roschon Johnson, and then up at the top, Keaton Mitchell.
I will agree with that. Yeah, I think that's a those are all good options. So I'm not even going to change it. I like it. Let's stick with that. Let's go over to the wide receiver position where, again, not the biggest name, but we have mentioned a couple options. There's still some viable options, especially with missing some of the Cardinal options on bye, missing McLaurin, who you probably have still reluctantly been starting at this point at the wide receiver position. So where are you going? Who's your priority add at wide receiver? Anybody stand out to you in a pretty crowded room, I think?
We touched on Jaden Reed at the top of the show. Just Christian watching him, he's going to miss time. I think he's a great add. Romeo Doubs is owned in quite a bit less league, so I think you could grab him as well. I think both of these players, they've got pretty good matchups coming up. The Packers play the Giants this week, and then following that, they are against the Tampa Bay, which allows tons of passing yards, and then Carolina, who does as well. So I think either one of those Packers receivers will pay back in dividends.
Yeah, you mentioned Jonathan Mingo when we're talking about Adam Thielen. I think he's a big priority for me. Past 2 weeks, he's out-targeted Adam Thielen, 16 targets to 9 targets. They're going to be playing from behind, so a lot of options are going to go there. Mingo had a real good week this week, 6 receptions, 69 yards on his first 10-target game of his career, 2 straight weeks now of setting up his most fantasy points. And, you know, they're playing the Saints, tough matchup, but again, the volume's going to be there for Mingo. I think he's someone that I'm making a priority to potentially try and add, especially with how many passes are going to end up going his way because of how from behind the Panthers are going to be playing the rest of the way.
I liked it a lot. I was high on Mingo coming into the season, so it'll be nice to see if he can actually prove that second-round draft capital.
Yep, I completely agree.
Next, we're going to start up with the Texans. Obviously, Tank Dell being out, that's going to open up opportunities because we've seen C.J. Stroud hold 2 receivers in most of these games as fantasy viable. So next man up would definitely be Noah Brown. Noah Brown was the guy that blew up just a few weeks ago before he had that injury. So now that he's back, seeing him, Nico Collins, and John Mechie, they're the three out there when they're running 11 personnel. So I think he's got plenty of opportunity to, you know, come back at that game that we saw. What was that, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago?
Something like that, yeah.
8 catches, 7 receptions for 172 yards, 153 yards the week before. This week it is against the Jets, who absolutely just shut out all wide receivers. I'd be willing to bet C.J. Stroud is going to be the guy that does it just because why not? But then following that, you've got 2 matchups against the Tennessee Titans in the playoffs, one in week 15 and one in week 17. So Noah Brown could be a great playoff player to have in your lineup.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I like what I've seen from him. We, like you said, we know C.J. Stroud makes multiple receivers fantasy viable, so Noah Brown's going to slot right into that number 2 role. I know Mechie had a couple targets, but Brown's still coming back from the injury. I think he'll clearly be V2 with some Robert Woods sprinkled in, but I definitely like that call. Similar circumstances for me for the next guy I want to bring up, and that's Elijah Moore. This is now 4 straight weeks that he's had 7 or more targets, and last week he set his season high with 12 targets thanks to Joe Flacco. He only caught 4 of them for 83 yards, but Amari Cooper is currently in concussion protocol. We'll see where he ends up. Even if Cooper clears the protocol, I think Moore has worked himself to the point where he is the clear number 2 in this offense, and that has some fantasy viability, especially with the Browns dealing with injuries on their defense where we may be playing from behind. This next 2 weeks, they play the Jaguars, who are probably going to put up some points, and the Chicago Bears, that maybe they won't put up points, but they're a defense you can beat. So I think Elijah Moore has all the potential in the world to be a safe option. We know he has rapport with Joe Flacco from their time last year for the New York Jets. So as long as Flacco's a starter, I think Elijah Moore is someone that you can trust as a flex-worthy option week in and week out.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's going to be a high-end wide receiver 3 with a pretty good upside. He has rapport with With Flacco from the Jets, Elijah Moore is top four in avoided tackles per reception over the last 2 years, up there with guys like Garrett Wilson, A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel. He has elite talent. We saw it in New York for a small stint, but just nobody was able to get him the ball. And I think Flacco's skills at this point in his age really mesh well with his talents. Flacco was always a deep ball guy, but we saw plenty of balls come short on Flacco's arm this past week. So yeah. I think he lines up really well with the matchup with Flacco.
Completely agree there. Anywhere else you're looking at wide receiver? If you miss out on some of these options, over some deeper league guys you're looking at?
Well, based on the reports we're seeing right now in the game, last I've seen, Christian Kirk has gone to the locker room. So I think Zay Jones needs to be mentioned here.
Yes.
He has been a fantasy asset in the past. He seems to be healthy and he's out there. So if Kirk's gone, really just doesn't want to be the number one most weeks. Hopefully tonight he is. But
yes, thank you.
but I think Zay Jones could have some fantasy relevance here going forward if Christian Kirk misses some time.
No, I definitely agree. We've seen these past 2 weeks, another guy, Trevor Lawrence, has made two receivers fantasy valuable, of Kirk and Calvin Ridley having their big weeks. Hopefully we're continuing this conversation with Calvin Ridley on Tuesday morning, but at this point, Zay Jones will definitely be someone that we're looking to, especially with Kirk being out there. I want to ask you, as the resident Colts fan, Alec Pierce had a couple deep bomb catches this past week. We saw Josh Downs have a very quiet week. Is there something there with Alec Pierce, or is this just a flash in the pan? He might be a little bit more involved, but not someone you can really trust.
I think that's right where it is. It's somebody you just can't trust. This was a career game for him. First 100-yard game. Highest yardage of the season before that is going to be 53 yards. This is his only touchdown. He had a great game. He has a great role in the Colts offense. He actually runs the most snaps out of, I think, any of the receivers. He's always out there. But that's what he is. He is going to be too streaky. Best ball player, sure. I think he'd be good there. But no, this is just going to be too inconsistent. Nothing you can rely on.
And finally, we talked about the Washington Commanders situation where you might drop some of these guys for Curtis Samuel. Last 3 weeks, he has almost an 18% target share compared to 19% from Terry McLaurin and 14% from Jahan Dotson. With the bye, it's tough, but it's with how he's being used, is Curtis Samuel someone you're trying to hold going into the bye week, or is he just pretty droppable?
I completely agree if people need to drop him for the roster space going into this bye week. I think Curtis Samuel is such an unsexy name that you can confidently drop him and then go pick him up back next week for nearly nothing. I don't think anybody really wants to play. I don't like that I've been playing him recently, but it's a matchup that you can take advantage of. And honestly, after the bye week, they play the Rams, the Jets, and then San Francisco. So the Rams is a game you could look at, but I don't know if you want to play him against the Jets and San Francisco is going to be a shot in the dark. So depending on the situation you're looking at, I don't think you necessarily need to hold him. But like I said, he's just my favorite of the Commanders receivers right now.
Yep, I would agree. I like what you said, though, too, that you could probably drop him and nobody will pick him up because it's Curtis Samuel. No one's exactly rushing to get Curtis Samuel. So if he's out there and you have a roster spot to hang on, why not? But if he's not someone you need to hold through the bye week, but as someone you should be circling because he's still pretty involved in an offense that's probably going to have to throw the ball 30 to 40 times each and every week the rest of the season. Let's go to our favorite conversation, and that is streamers, as we try and make sense of some of the more difficult positions in fantasy football. We'll start with your favorite, the tight end position, where we talked about Pat Freiermuth as this big must-add guy with his three techs. We talked about him for a little bit. So first off, is he someone you still want to hold, or are you dropping him for some of these other tight end streaming options?
I'd be okay with dropping him. The next two matchups, he's playing the Patriots and the Colts. The Colts, he may be able to get something going on there, but I think you if you need to drop him for a couple weeks to see how well Mitchell Trubisky plays, there may be just nothing happening there at all. There's no point in holding on to him. But he does have a matchup against the Bengals in week 16, and the Bengals are one of the worst teams against tight ends. So I guess I'm kind of holding out hope. Maybe you get to play him there in week 16 and 17 against them in the Seattle Seahawks. But the next 2 weeks, I'd be okay with benching and or moving on from him if there's a player that you need to pick up. just because I have no faith in Trubisky at all, despite Canada being gone.
Yep, I agree with everything you said. So if you are looking to replace him or replace a Logan Thomas or a Trey McBride this week, where are you looking?
Ooh, I know we've been talking trash about the Chargers a little bit, but Gerald Everett, I think, is always a risky streamer. He's done pretty well. They've done quite a few tight end touchdowns this year. So I do think that the matchup for him this week is, it's not the best in the world, but you've got the Raiders. Raiders don't play very well against the passing game. So, you know, got to throw them out there. You got to throw them out there.
Yeah, I like also as an option, Brevin Jordan. He's kind of a sleeper name that was brought up late last week with Dalton Schultz's injury. Obviously, you got to keep an eye on the injury report if he's actively going to play. This is irrelevant, but if Schultz needs to miss another week, Jordan had four targets, and without Tank Dell in this offense, I wonder if Stroud may lean on his tight end position a little bit more. So I think Brevin Jordan is a fine streamer, tough matchup with the New York Jets, but they, if they're susceptible anywhere in the offense, they've been kind of susceptible to the tight end position. So I think Jordan's a, you know, fine streamer in that same 12-ish range for rankings that you could probably do worse, but probably do better.
The last guy I want to bring up, he's owned in just over 60% of leagues, but he's been dropped drastically after his two poor performances. Taysom Hill. Come on, man. It's Taysom time. Derek Carr might be missing a little time. He says he's okay. It's just a shoulder injury, but the Saints play better when they put Taysom out there. So if he's looking about 65% owned, so if he was dropped in your leagues, go scoop him up.
Yeah, same thing for Isaiah Likely. He's coming off the bye week, plays the Rams. He had six targets before the bye week, so he's probably dropped a lot because they had their bye week. But if Isaiah Likely's out there, the Ravens will likely still use him in the passing game. So I think Likely is another name that I'll mention as a possible streamer. Let's go over to the quarterback position, because you've probably been relying on Kyler Murray and Sam Howell these past few weeks, right in that same streaming-ish category. So you're probably looking for someone to pick up at quarterback. To me, it's pretty ugly this week, but maybe I'm wrong. Brian, you have a streaming quarterback that you're really loving this week.
I wouldn't say I'm really loving Josh Dobbs. We don't actually know if he's going to be the starter this week, but if he does get the nod, he's coming off a bad game from the week before, but he does give you that rushing upside. So I do think Dobbs should be in consideration as a streaming candidate with, you know, just the consideration of couple bye weeks with good quarterbacks and injuries as well.
Yeah, I'll mention Jordan Love as someone who is probably not as available, but if he's still out there, he plays the Giants, go get him. But for someone who is widely available, I'll jump in the pool. Jameis Winston. If Carr does miss this week, they do play the Carolina Panthers, who have been okay against quarterbacks, but it's also because they're getting blown out. But Jameis, we know the upside he has. We know the Jameis Winston story. I don't need to be telling you too much more. It's risky, but he has as much potential as anybody to throw for 300 yards. Just might come with a couple turnovers. So there's a lot to potentially like in this matchup against the Panthers for Jameis Winston. And if Carr misses sometime, I'm willing to throw him out there for a week and hope and pray that it ends up okay.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, definitely the high ceiling play. Jameis can go out there and just absolutely destroy, or he can go out there and just destroy.
The game. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be destruction one way or another. It's just you know, you're getting close to your fantasy playoffs. Why not put your season in the hands of Jameis Winston? Live free, and there's some saying with that I'm not remembering right now. But we'll go over to the defensive streamers to wrap it on up. Again, another week where I don't see any amazing options, but Brian, does anything stand out to you as somebody you're trying to pick up this week?
The Saints defense, they draw Carolina, Panthers, and Bryce Young, the interception tosser. So I think they're a decent play this week. The Saints, you know, they're great against the run, forcing Bryce Young to throw the ball a little bit. I think there's opportunity there. Just, you know, there has been all season.
Yeah, and I like the Houston Texans this week, only 14% roster on ESPN. They're coming off three interceptions of Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos, and they get a date with the New York Jets, and Zach Wilson or Tim Boyle or Trevor Siemian. And yes, please. Yeah. So if Houston's available, they're probably my favorite option. They have a good week. This matchup is with the Jets, and they play the Tennessee Titans the following week and Will Levis. And that's another one that you can take advantage of. So I am definitely a fan of getting the Texans this week.
And then the last one that I'm really excited about is the Colts defense. They draw the Cincinnati Bengals and Jake, the Brown man, Browning. The Colts defense last 4 weeks, 28 points, 14, 13, 17. It's been crazy. They've had at least four sacks in their last four games. They are a turnover machine. And I think they're a great matchup for Cincinnati. And then Pittsburgh the next week, and then Atlanta the following week, and then Vegas the following week. This is just crappy quarterback after crappy quarterback after crappy quarterback.
Took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to bring up all the great matchups they have. Yeah, if the Colts are available, they might be my full favorite. That's a real good one to bring up to wrap it up based on the four straight good matchups. So if the Colts are out there, I wouldn't say make them a priority ad because there's plenty of other positions, but if you got the room and you need a defense, Colts could be that league-winning defense that wins you a fantasy championship with how easy your schedule is.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
But that's going to do it for this week's episode of the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. As always, if you need some more start-sit decisions, waiver wire options, you can find us at the QB List. Go to QBList.com as we'll have our weekly articles, waiver wire, start sit, what we saw, everything to get you ready for your playoff push. We'll be coming out with the start sit podcast as well on Wednesday night and / Thursday morning, where we'll break down game by game everybody that's questionable start sit decisions, try and help you make these decisions as we get closer and closer to your fantasy football playoffs. But Ryan, anything else you need to plug? Any other thing you got going on?
No, I've got my weekly streaming tight end article you can find on the website. Find me on Twitter at @too_much_Brian. I'll be hopping on the Reddit threads talking about my What We Saw article.
Yeah, you can find me at @Callan_Osslager. I'll be jumping in on the Start Sit Pod this week with likely Brian as well as we, like I said, break down these upcoming matchups because we're here. For a lot of us, starting after this week, we will be in our fantasy playoffs, so these next few decisions are going to be crucial, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure it's the best decision possible.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.